Parshas Balak, we have Parakhaf Hei, Pazit Gimel, Vayitzman Yisrael Vavalpor, Vayichalap Hashem Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael were attaching themselves to Vavalpor, and God got angry at Bnei Yisrael. So you should know, this shir is about 2 or 3 years in the making. The reason why is because I kept trying to give a shir on Vavalpor, and I was always missing something. I was always missing all the other Baalim, but I found it this year in Rav Hirsch. Throughout the Nevi'im, there was a cult known as Baal that became very, very popular. It was the idol of the Jews when Eliyahu HaNavi was told to publicly humiliate them, when they went up on top of the mountain and he went out and they said, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim. That was the Baal that was there. There were many different types, but we list, the Torah lists 5 of them for us. It goes through 5 of them to make sure that we know what they are. Baal Tzafon is the one mentioned in Parshas Bashalach. He was the god of the desert and of gold. He desires a person's service in exchange for riches and fame. If you serve it, you will get riches, you will get fame. He was the last remaining idol of the Egyptians. He was the one that the Jews camped by near the Yam Suf. He's mentioned at the end of Parshas Bo, the beginning of Parshas Bashalach. That was Baal Tzafon. That's that one over there. Yes. It's brought down by the Rishonim. That's all I get up on. The gold. That's exactly why they were supposed to bring their money. That is 100% true. Baal Ma'on Bamidbor, Lamed Beis Lamed Ches, was the god of habitations. What that means is he was the god of different areas that were inhabited, different homes, whose land was taken over by Reuven and Gad and turned into cities of Kedusha. The city became known as Ma'on. But Baal Ma'on was the Baal that was in charge of different cities and things like that. He was in charge of regular civilization. Baal Bris in Shoktim Ches Lamed Gimel was a god of the union of nations, connecting people to one another. After Gidon passed away, the Jews got very heavily involved with Baal Bris. And then came Baal Zvuv, also known as Beelzebub. He's brought down in Christian lore. You heard him in Bohemian Rhapsody. He's mentioned in Malachim Beis, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Beis. He is the god of decay, was used to pray for illnesses and possibly from death, to be able to reprieve people from death. This was the god followed by Achab and his men that was knocked down by Eliyahu HaNavi. He's also known as Beelzebub, as we said before. Number 5, and our last one is Baal Peor. Baal Peor was a god of shamelessness. He was a god to whom one gave brazen, unabashed prominence, says Rav Hirsch, to the animalistic aspects of human life. He calls it the Darwinian aspect of sinking to the level of the beast, to consider yourself no more than an animal, he calls it. You are not a human being, another being altogether. You are a beast. You are an animal. And that's it. You are going to act like an animal. You are going to be an animal. You're going to do what animals do. That's what Baal Peor is. The Malvim says that it is well known that this service was connected to the sun. I've never seen that, and I don't know why it would be considered connected to the sun, but it was supposed that Baal Peor was connected to the sun in some way out there. Now, Baal Peor is the one that we're going to mention exclusively tonight, and we're going to be talking about it more in the form of why Bnei Yisrael was so connected to that more than anything else. So first points out, Balak brought Bilam to 3 different places in order to curse the Jews. There was Baal, the place of Baal, Chav Beis Mem Aleph, the fields of Tzofim, that's in Chav Gimel Yedalet, and then Peor in Chav Gimel Chav Ches. Those are the 3 places he brought him in order to curse the Jews. Baal was the most popular god. It represented the highest power of nature, under whose control all wealth, all physical property was that stood. His sign was the sign of the male organ, what's called the phallus. The sign of generative power in nature to make more things grow and to make things happen. That's what Baal was known for, to make things happen. As a side note, by the way, there was a feminine side as well that's known as Ashtaros. Ashtaros was the picture of a woman. Baal was the picture of the man. That's the idea behind it. What Balak wanted to know was if this nation is being led by a god that doesn't have the material ability to allow them to survive. And if so, then we can use Baal to overcome them. Our god of Baal will be more powerful than them. We'll outspend them, so to speak. The reason why the Americans were able, I guess, somewhat, but Ronald Reagan was able to beat the Russians in the Cold War, according to some historians, was because he outspent the Russians. That he just kept spending money on defense. And the amount of money that he spent, Russia could not keep up. So the point was that they had to make peace because they simply put could not do what the Americans were doing. There's a way of doing that, and Bilam and Balak were, Balak was suggesting, why not do that? Bilam told him that numbers and physical prowess was not an issue for this people. Who counts Bnei Yisrael, said Bilam? Who's going to be able to count them? Mina mano afer Yaakov, right? Mi espor Bnei Yisrael. They were beyond nature. So then he went to state Sofim. He wanted to see if they contained intelligence. Sofim means to look and to see things that others can't see. Can they be used in the future as watchmen, seers? What do they have? Do they have the chokmos of astrology and other magics that could be used to see what was going to be? Are they going to be going into their fate blind? Says Balak. Even then, says Bilam, there was no issue. The Jews were never involved. Kilo nichash biyakov. There was no such thing as omens and superstition and those types of things, oracles among Klal Yisrael. They had no need for them at all. They had all the physical and spiritual gifts that they wanted, so there was not a point. There was not one single point that they were going to be involved with, and that's that. And the final point that Balak made was a very strong one. Maybe there's a worm of rot on the inside. Maybe there's something wrong with them deep inside. Maybe we can get them to go bad because there's a streak of immorality, Gilya Rias, that they should be involved with. That's the third point of view, Pa'or, the cult which turns us into animals that have no connection to the gods. Their mantra, the mantra of those who believe in Pa'or, is there is no higher calling for man. You will not be any better than you actually are. In fact, we have no expectation. You're an animal. And we have no other expectation for you other than being an animal. There's no need for decency, a purity of spirit, modesty. An animal doesn't need that thing. This cult believed that central depravity is no longer sinful, but it's expected from every person. That you are willing to give yourself and do what the gods want you to do. That's it. I was built with this form. Why should I perfect it? This is what I have. I don't have to go any further. To that, Bilam said, Ma tovu o'alecha Yaakov. Their tents, their houses are filled with purity. They're filled with kedusha. They are not going to be turned into a bad nation. But there, Bilam got an idea and said, but maybe we can change them by taking out of their houses. Let's put them in situations where they're not comfortable. Allow them to be near the Benos Midian and the Benos Moab and see what happens to them. Maybe then they're going to turn that Kiddushin to Tumah. That was the idea behind it. Now Rashi says, the reason why we call Pa'or is because the word Pa'or with an ayin means to open up one's mouth. To open up and to be able to show. That's the idea of what Pa'or stood for. And they would open up their backsides and go to the bathroom on top of the idol itself. Now what does that have to do with depravity? In other words, the idea of you're an animal, you're getting into your nature. I get that animals also go to the bathroom wherever they want. They have no shame at all. But that doesn't have to do with sexual depravity. What does that have to do with that point? What's the connection between those two? The Baal HaTorim also says that Baal is 102. It's the gematria of Tsoa, which means obviously going to the bathroom. As a side note, by the way, the gematria of Tzvi is also 102. I'm not necessarily connecting them, but I was very, very upset when I saw that. But regardless, it just means that I'm the master of everyone. Why would anyone consider this but why would anyone consider this a proper service of any idol? What are you doing? You honestly, we all know the story that's brought down in Sanhedrin, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down that there was a guy who was taking a woman from one place to the other. He was a donkey, you know, a rider. And he brought a woman from one place to the other. She was passing by. She said, wait, I want to go do my service by Baal Peor, and then we'll go on the road. So she stopped by Baal Peor. She went, you know, she went in, and that's that. So the Jew was curious. So he went in, and he looked at what was going on, and he saw her going to the bathroom on the idol. Going to the bathroom regularly and urinating on top of the idol. So he said, what? Is that what you do? So she said, yeah, that's the way of this idol. She says, okay. So he goes up to the idol, goes to the bathroom, number two, and then takes his excrement and rubs it all over the nose of the idol itself. And the priests were going crazy. There is no one who has served this idol as great as that Jew did. No one has ever been into this as much as that Jew. But it's ridiculous. How in the world could that be the service of the idol? How in the world could that be expected of anyone? That's ridiculous. There's no way. So Chavetz Chaim says, not a big fella. I love this answer of the Chavetz Chaim. When something's in, it's in. It doesn't matter what it is. If you put it on the front of a magazine and everyone's going to the bathroom on their idol nowadays, then everyone will go to the bathroom on their idol. All you need are six people from Hollywood that get really, really into it, and then everybody's like, oh my God, how could you not? How is this not what you're doing? Everybody gets into it. The same way that Kabbalah found its way when you had just a couple Hollywood people getting around, the way that Scientology became popular. Because there's two or three people that were freaks that went ahead and said, hey, there's some... I'm sorry? Well, now, when it first came out, people were really into it. The mid-90s, people were really, I remember, I was just like, oh, it's awesome. Now I'm joking. But regardless, there are people that got really, really into it. At some point, they were in. And there's a couple of times when something's in, it's normal. There have been times where bell bottoms were normal and in, and people thought it was cool. There were times where people thought that huge ties, the ones like that, were really cool. Now they're called clown ties. And there are going to be times in the future where we're going to look back and say, you know, those tiny little skinny ties? They're going to be like, oh my gosh, those were in ones? They're the ugliest things I've ever seen, especially the square ones on the bottom. Right? They are the ugliest things ever. I'm not saying anything, but people are going to say the exact same thing. Have you ever seen anybody from the 70s in a picture who has glasses? You ever seen those glasses? Those better not ever be in ever again. They can't be. There's no way. Says the Kofetz Chaim, okay, you think it's disgusting because it's not in right now. When it gets in again, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can't believe we didn't do it. That's the idea, says the Kofetz Chaim. That's, I love that answer. The Ksam Sofer is a little bit different.
The different morality is those wearing bell bottoms and worshiping an idol, and then it's definitely
mad. It's true. No, there's no question. The Kofetz Chaim is giving it as an example, but he's not really giving the answer. Ksam Sofer is not really giving the answer either. The Ksam Sofer is saying, we're known as an Amkshe Oreth. What is that? That's a stiff-necked people. Now, we're known as that only throughout the Torah. In Nach, we are never known as an Amkshe Oreth. What does Oreth stand for? Says the Ksam Sofer, Oreth stands for Egel, that's the Ayin, Regel, as in Meraglim, for the Resh, and Peor, for the Pei. That's Oreth. Once those sins were gone, the Egel Azov, the Meraglim, and Baal Peor, they were no longer described as Kshe Oreth. All three of these sins showed our stiff-neckedness. They make no sense. It makes no sense why we serve the Egel Azov. It makes no sense what we're doing with Baal Peor. It made no sense what we're doing with the Meraglim. None of it made any sense. But nonetheless, they happened, and we have to be punished for them, and that's why we know Zam Kshe Oreth. So really, the Ksam Sofer is answering by saying, you're right, it didn't make any sense. It didn't. Why did they do it? It's strange. Very, very strange why they got involved with it. It doesn't make any sense. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musar, Pei Dalet, adds a question and says, why is this Isser connected to Lo Sosifu Aladabar? Is it you cannot add on to your mitzvos? Lo Sigurman, you guys got lost? No, I hear you. Lo Sosifu Mimenu, Lo Sigurman, then you can't have less. Why is it connected to that? What's the shaykhus to this mitzvah that you're not allowed to add on or subtract from the different mitzvos? It seems that the Avodah of this idol was the actual Bizayin itself. Listen to what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says. It's a beautiful answer. That was the service. You know what the service was? The idol worship stood for, listen, every other religion in the world has borders. There are Gedarim. You cannot go past those Gedarim. It happens to be that Judaism has more than most. We have quite a few Gedarim, right, that are out there that you're not allowed to pass. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. You have to do this. You have to do that. But other religions have the same. Islam have very, very specific laws, the laws of Sharia or Sharia, however you want to pronounce it. Christianity has very specific laws. There's only a couple. Not so many, but there are definitely laws that apply within the realm of Christianity. Every religion has their laws. Baal Peor was do whatever you want. There are no borders. There are no fences. Just do it. Whatever you want. It's Nike to the extreme. That's what it really stood for. It referred to people doing whatever they wanted, whenever they want. Even though the idea is, Baal Peor is, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to the house of Avodah Zarah. You don't have to even treat the God with respect, lowercase g. You don't have to do anything over here that you don't want to do. You want to go to the bathroom on the God? Go ahead. Do whatever you want. See, the Jew figured it out in the minds of the priest. The Jew took his own excrement and rubbed it on the face of the idol. That's exactly what the service of this idol is. Do what you want. Do anything you want. You want to make fun of us? Do it! We don't care! That's what Baal Peor stood for. There was absolutely no honor, nothing to honor that you had to maintain. Nothing whatsoever. It's a world of hefker. It's a world without borders. It's a world where you can do anything you want. Even nowadays, where the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah has basically been wiped out, I know, in Western society at least, I know there are still a billion people that are worshipping Avodah Zarah mamish in India and China, and I don't get how that goes with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Yuma that says the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah is wiped out. But the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah by us Nobody here has a desire to bow down to Shabadoo, the eight-armed elephant. Nobody here is thinking that way. Nobody has any desire whatsoever. But nonetheless, there are people who are still connected with the idea of Baal Peor. I had a Rebbe years ago, my sophomore year of high school in Skokie Yeshiva. His name was Rabbi Schuster, Meir Schuster. He now teaches at Chappelle's in Arizona, Darche Noam. An unbelievable Rebbe. I still remember him telling me this when I was a sophomore in high school. I still remember that he told us about two things. Number one, there was a woman named Jane Fonda. Okay, you don't have to know who she was. There's no reason to, and don't Google it. There's no reason. But Jane Fonda was well known as being like a student of human rights. She wanted to be open with everybody, and she made a house. She built up a house. She was a famous movie star, etc. She made a house that had no doors. You wanted to go to the bathroom? It's fine, but you're not closing any door. You just went to the bathroom outside. It was with everybody. Everything was wide open to anyone who wanted to be inside there. That was the house that she made. That was the house. That's the definition of Baal Peor. Literally the definition of Baal Peor. And then he went into the whole thing, when did hats go out of style? You ever look at baseball games back in the day, like in the 30s and the 40s? Everyone is sitting there wearing their hats. I was by my parents' house for dinner, and they showed, there was, what's that, a Lou Gehrig story, right? Is that the old movie about Lou Gehrig, right after Lou Gehrig died? You know what I'm talking about? The old-time movie was made in, like, with Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth is in the movie. Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Okay, great. I, you know what? You guys should have lived in the 30s with me. Anyway, they had it on TV, and I saw, like, a picture of, like, it was played. First of all, the whole thing was taking place in Wrigley Field. They didn't have permission to do it in Yankee Stadium, so they did it in Wrigley Field. The whole thing is at Wrigley. And they have people in the stands, and every single person in the stands is wearing a suit, tie, and hat. And the women are wearing dresses, and the seats did not change. The seats did not change. The sun did not get less hot. Okay? It's still the same sun. It's still the same everything. But for some reason, everybody thought, you went to a baseball game? You have to look cautious. And they're all standing up and cheering, and they're taking off their hats and like that, standing. And you can't believe it. You can't believe that's what a baseball game was like back then. It's unbelievable. When did that change? Says Sichos Moser, Rav Chaim Shalavitz, that is the loss of kavod in this world. That people have lost the honor that they deserve, that they should be going outside with something covering up in some way. But Baal Peor stood for, do whatever you want, open yourself up to anything, wear whatever you want out in the streets.
Why is being more sensible of society and wearing, you know, a t-shirt and shorts to a baseball game, why does that represent a less level of cuddle in society? I disagree with that.
It's different. It's that public. Well, it's not a time for right now, but public showing. When you're out in public, you should look cautious. Everybody should look their best.
The definition of looking cautious could change over time.
Yes, it could, when the society loses their definition of cuddle. Yeah. I mean, it's an argument, right? But nonetheless, there's no question that kavod is shown when a person wears his suit and short. You wouldn't wear that type of dress to a meeting when you're trying to impress somebody, right?
You're right. They're not impressing anybody anymore. That's not...
The players, you never know. But anyway, regardless, that, and that's the mitzvah of Baal Sigra and Baal Sosif. Not to add on to the mitzvah, to subtract. You think you're adding on by doing something like this or something like that. You're not. You're losing it. You're actually missing out on the point. That's the idea of what it means. And that's what it means in something like that. That's the idea of what Baal Peor stood for and what the other idea is. Now, another service of this idol, you know what, we're going to skip on this for right now. That happens to be like this, but the Chassam Sofer understands the whole thing metaphorically. They used to eat dead, okay, whatever it is. We're not going to talk about that right now. Second part to all this is the word Bayit Sameid, that the people got connected to. It comes from the word Semed Bukar, a team of oxen where the oxen are together. The Ibn Ezra makes the connection. He says the following. It could be one of two ways. Either that woman lured them into the service, that there were women that said that in order to be together with us, you're going to need to bow down to these idols and get involved with these idols. Or it could be that the women were convinced to worship this idol as well. Notice this, by the way. It was not just the men that were involved with Baal Peor. According to this Ibn Ezra, there were women involved in Baal Peor as well. Now that goes against everything. The women never sinned in the Midbar. The women were never involved with this garbage in the Midbar. But here, says the Ibn Ezra, they were affected. The women were not affected by the Agin, not affected by the Meraglim, not affected by Korach, but they were affected here by Baal Peor. I'm sorry? No. There were, according to the Me'am Loez, there was only one woman that died in the Midbar, and it was Miriam. Nobody else died. Now, that's a Pella. But I think he means nobody died from their regular sins. They only died from old age, but nobody died of their sins in the Midbar itself. I'm sorry? 126. Yeah, 100%. 100%, yeah. But nonetheless, Chazal say that that's the reason why. And she died, we know from the Pasuk, right? She died because of either the Lashon Hara or something else that happened throughout Klal Yisrael. Regardless, that's that. Now, they heard the ideas from the men, and that's why it says that Yisrael, not just Ha'am, the bad people, but Yisrael got involved. The Meshech Chokma says that's why Hashem was so angry, right? If it was just the men who were wooed by the women, it wouldn't be so bad. The only reason why they're doing the Avodah Zarah is because of Taiva. They don't really want to do the Avodah Zarah, they're in Taiva. But according to this Pshat, says the Meshech Chokma, these guys were starting to think about it. They wanted to say, you know what? We agree with the ideas of Baal Peor. And they went to their wives, and the wives were convinced about Baal Peor. They sat there and they looked at it and said, this all makes a lot of sense to us. That was the problem. Now they're thinking it through and thinking it's okay. They were masking to what they were doing. That's crazy. That's the idea behind it. Now, you should know, by the way, the Meshech Chokma then argues about that in the next piece. But regardless, that's the Meshech Chokma's first shot over there. Then it says like it as well. At first, it was only the lowly that was involved. But then the Tzadikim got involved. Yisrael got connected to Baal Peor. The Shari Aaron says, it could be that was the difference between the different women. The woman of Midian went for the tzaddik, and the woman of Moab went for the Stam people. They went for two different people. Yonas and Luziel compares this to taking a piece of a little nail and hammering it into a piece of wood. When you take the nail out, you grab the nail out, the door is no longer the same. You can take the nail out, right? But there's pieces of wood that are attached to the nail when you grab the nail out. The nail isn't clean. Something happened, and there's little pieces of wood. Maybe they're tiny, tiny, but there's still little pieces coming out. Says Yonas and Uziel, that's what it was like when they were trying to separate from Baal Peor. They were separated from it. They could take themselves away, but there was a little bit of a connection where they were like, ah, Baal Peor, it's so nothing. It's a little crazy, that Baal Peor. And they couldn't get it out of their heads. What was this? And maybe, that was the whole idea behind Baal Peor. Do something so extreme. Go to the bathroom on top of the idol so that you keep thinking to yourself, what's up with that idol? Why do people do that? I can't believe I just did it. It's nuts. Who would have made that in the first place? It kept you connected to the idol even when you left. That's the idea, says Yonas and Menuziel. They couldn't stop. They couldn't stop thinking about it. They couldn't stop thinking about what this stood for. And that led them to start thinking for reasons why this was such a good idea, why it was such a good thing.
It's such a good idea. Really, it's a big stretch. They first, and they brought it to God. During the last 40 years, they received all these rules. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Now they got this thing where, like, you can do whatever you
exactly
want. Great.
Exactly. It was like a guy, you're taking a guy out of, you know, literally out of Mea Sharm, right in the middle, right? And you're taking him straight into Tel Aviv, right? Not that Tel Aviv is bad, but a bad part of Tel Aviv, right? But he goes right into Tel Aviv and those areas, and he brings him right there. The guy is just shell-shocked. Shell-shocked. Some people will be able to say, no, this is disgusting. Other people will say, holy cow, what is going on here, right? That's the idea behind it, the idea of what happened. The Rabbeinu Bachai says, Baruch Hashem, it did not say the word Bayidbiku, that they got stuck to. It says tzemed. Tzemed is like you tightly seal a cap on top of a kli. You have a kli, you have a cap, you tightly seal it on, that's called tzemed. Right? But dovuk means it's glued on and you can't get it off. It becomes part of that kli. This is okay, it's still a cap, they were still separate, but they weren't completely separate. That's the idea behind it. It could be, right, that they really had honorable intentions, says the Shach. It's possible that when they went in thinking, you know what, it's possible they were going in saying they wanted to be involved. We want to be involved to try to see what's going on, to try to help the people that are out there. Who knows? Who knows? But the fact is, what Bnei Yisrael should have done is the following. There's another Gemara brought in Sanhedrin, it's on Samach Dalet, that brings down like this. It says that there was a woman who went by and she got sick. She wanted to thank God for getting herself out of this, so she said, I'm going to thank every God in the world if I get healed from my sickness. So she went to every God in the world and gave it sacrifice when she was healed from her sickness. She came to Baal Peor, she asked what it was, and when they told her what you have to do, she said, that's not a God, that's disgusting. And she got up and she left. That's what Bnei Yisrael should have done. Bnei Yisrael were like, that's a God? And they made fun of it? and they went to the bathroom on it. They should have said, that's disgusting, I don't want to have anything to do with that, and walk away. Since they didn't do it, says the Shach, that's why they were punished, and that's why they got around. To end with Rav Avigdor Miller, we have to understand this, and it really goes for ourselves as well. It's probable that the Jews did go into it thinking it was ridiculous, and maybe they were trying to convert the girls to the proper Hashkafa, because they thought, listen, if these girls are believing in this guy, for sure we can get them to believe in Hashem. If they were into this, for sure they're going to do a real service of a real God. There's no question. They just wanted to use it to gain friendship with the girls and woo them onto the Jewish side. Nonetheless, that connection was there. But as is the way of the Torah, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, the Torah describes everything the Jews did in the Midbar in the most extreme manner possible in order for us to learn a lesson from it and to see how angry Hashem is when people of this stature come even close to doing something like this. There is no question there was a Chilul Hashem. Because even if the Jews had the best of intentions, you know what the woman went ahead and said? They went out and they said, hey, we just got the Jews to worship Baal Peor. Now the Jews had no intention whatsoever. They didn't do anything. But the people were going around saying, the Jews are worshiping Baal Peor. And that was the Chilul Hashem of the greatest magnitude. How could they have allowed such words to be said about them? How could they have allowed such a thing to happen? That was the shocking part of the year. And for that Chilul Hashem alone, they were supposed to be punished. How could they have allowed such a thing to be able to happen? What's up, Jake?
Why would, in general, what's the point of bringing in, even bringing Chilul Hashem? I thought we don't
normally do it. This was not Klal Yisrael as a whole. These were individuals of Klal Yisrael who were on the outskirts of the camp, who saw some pretty girls and said, hey, if we make them Jewish, we can marry them. That's all it was. This is not something to emulate. This is not something to go after. And we see what happens. You try going to their churches. You try going to their areas and try to convert them. They will end up converting you. Will you be totally convinced? No. But there's just a little bit that can happen in your mind. And look what happens. Look what happened to such a stupid Baal Peor. Even that was able to get them. Even more so, that could happen to us nowadays. Even more so, we have to be careful when we go around. And that's why it's not our job to go convert. We don't want to be affected by it. All right, guys, we're going to stop with that.